And welcome to Overwatch. I'm Richard Grun. This is Overwatch on the Firefall Talk Radio and the Firefall Network. In the news, Parkland, Florida school shooting. On Wednesday, February 14th, 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz dropped off by Uber, walked to the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Hall High School campus, armed with an AR-15 hidden in a large duffel bag, tripped the fire alarm to draw the students out of their classrooms, and he began opening fire. He gunned down students and teachers alike, calmly discarded the weapon along with the duffel bag, and he escaped by blending in with the fleeing students. After stopping at a local McDonald's for a snack, he was arrested without incident while walking down a residential street. Was this a surprise? No. Many who knew him said this was bound to happen. Cruz was a troubled teen. According to Victoria Oliveira, 17-year-old junior at the school, she told the Sun Sentinel, "I think everyone had in their minds, if anybody was going to do it, it would be him." Math teacher Jim Gard remembered that the school administration earlier had sent out an email warning teachers about Cruz. Quote, "We were told last year that he wasn't allowed on campus with a backpack on him. There were problems with him last year," Gard said, who had him in class. "He was threatening students, and I guess he was asked to leave campus." Drew Fairchild, the Stoneman Douglas High School student, shared a class with Cruz during their freshman year. He said he used to have weird, random outbursts, cursing at the teachers. He was a troubled kid. Even the parent of another student agreed, saying his son Daniel had warned him about Cruz. "If you were to pick one person you might predict in the future would shoot up a school or do this, it would be this kid," the parents said. Well, Superintendent Robert Runcie told reporters on Wednesday afternoon that he didn't know of any concerns raised about the student. Runcie said, "We received no warnings. Potentially there could have been signs out there, but we didn't have any warning or phone calls or threats that were made." Mr. Runcie, who sent out those emails warning the teachers? Nicholas Cruz sought treatment at the Henderson Mental Health Clinic and had previously attended a school for students with behavioral problems, BuzzFeed reports. Broward County Sheriff Department deputies were called to his home 39 times since 2010. The calls from 2010 to November 2016 revealed a troubled Cruz and his brother Zachary, erratic, abusive, violent behavior. They threw items, they were out of control, they fought with and verbally abused their mother, apparently on a regular basis. "I'm sorry. How did nobody see this?" Reportedly, both Cruz and his brother, adopted, suffered from OCD, ADD, and behavioral issues that they took medication for. Yet, regardless of all the calls and interventions, no charges were filed. No steps were taken to restrain, contain, or report Cruz to the proper authorities. And despite all of these calls, Cruz was never arrested. And a therapist said in a September 28th, 2016 report that Cruz was basically cleared, quote, "being no threat to anyone or himself. There's no doubt in my mind that the system failed miserably, and 17 people are dead, 15 people are wounded. Numerous families' lives have been completely destroyed. Cruz was kicked out of school in 2017 for disciplinary problems and banned from the campus. Although they will not open the records and tell you what they were, people are reporting that he had gotten into a fight with an ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend, and his backpack was found to have bullets in them. And yet he was cleared as being no threat to anyone or himself. Both of his adoptive parents had died over the last few years. The father died of cancer years ago. The mother died from the flu in November. Some people believe that was what sent him off the deep end into this tragedy. Cruz had been reported to the school, to the police, and even to the FBI. Warning signs were overlooked and ignored. Miami Herald headline, Florida school shooting suspect was ex-student and was flagged as a threat. FoxNews.com, the FBI was warned of a YouTube threat Cruz made to become, quote, a professional school shooter. His Instagram posts were of guns and knives and harming animals, but he's no threat to anyone. Dakota Mutchler, 17, said he used to be close friends with Cruz but hadn't seen him since he was expelled from school. He recalled Cruz posting on Cruz posted on Instagram about killing animals. That's where it all starts. Almost every major killer starts with the killing of animals. They become desensitized to life. He also talked about doing target practice in his backyard with a pellet gun. He was known to terrorize the neighbors by shooting at their windows with a BB gun. Dakota went on to say, I think everyone had in their minds, if anyone was going to do it, it was going to be him. One unnamed student told WJXT-TV, everyone predicted the shooting. Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel said some of Cruz's social media posts were, quote, very, very disturbing. Yeah, you think? Sheriff Israel repeated what his deputies had urged at every school in January. Quote, if you see something, say something, he said, adding, if anybody has any indicator that someone's going through a behavioral change or on their social media there are disturbing photos, perhaps bombs or firearms or just videos or pictures that are just not right, please make sure law enforcement knows about it. Well, Sheriff, someone did say, and someone did see, and they did report it to the FBI. But the FBI originally stated that they were notified of a YouTube video, but they just couldn't figure out the identity of the person, even though his name was on the postings. This week, on February 16th, the agency in a statement admitted receiving a call on January 5th, 2018, from a person close to Cruz who contacted the FBI through its public access line, PAL, tip line, to express concerns about Cruz's erratic behavior and social media post. Gee, I don't know. Does that mean somebody saw and I don't know. I'm just not real smart. February 16th, 2018, FBI statement on the shooting in Parkland, Florida. This is the official statement. On January 5th, 2018, a person close to Nicholas Cruz contacted the FBI's public access tip line to report concerns about him. The caller provided information about Cruz's gun ownership, desire to kill people, erratic behavior, and disturbing social media posts, as well as the potential of him conducting a school shooting. Under established protocol, the information provided by the caller should have been assessed as a potential threat to life. The information then should have been forwarded to the FBI Miami field office, where appropriate investigative steps would have been taken. We have determined that these protocols were not followed for the information received by the PAL on January 5th. The information was not provided to the Miami field office, and no further investigation was conducted at that time. FBI Director Christopher Wray said, "We are still investigating the facts. I am committed to getting to the bottom of what happened in this particular matter, as well as reviewing our processes for responding to information that we receive from the public. It's up to all Americans to be vigilant, and when the members of the public contact us with concerns, we must act properly and quickly. We have spoken with the victims and the families and deeply regret the additional pain this causes to all those affected by this horrific tragedy. All of the men and women of the FBI are dedicated to keeping the American people safe and are relentlessly committed to improving all that we do and how we do it." Yeah. Florida Governor Rick Scott has criticized the FBI's failure and called for Wray to resign. I would like to say that this is something new. And I know it seems like I'm harping on the FBI considering last week's show, but since they're in the news every day and they've taken a very vocal, high-profile position, we cannot ignore the obvious, that the list of FBI failures to act continue to grow. The Fort Hood shooting by Army Major Nidal Hassan in 2009, the Muslim Sarnov brothers who bombed the Boston Marathon in 2013, the Pulse shooter Omar Mateen in Orlando in 2016, even the 2017 Las Vegas shooter Stephen Paddock were all on the FBI's radar. They were either interviewed or looked into, and nothing was done. And now this. I'm sorry, I have a problem, especially when you hear the cries from the liberal politicians and the Hollywood elite blaming it on the weapon used, the AR-15. And by the way, AR does not stand for assault rifle. It stands for Armalite rifle. And they want to ban that particular rifle and all supposed assault rifles and semi-automatic weapons, and lead to eventually confiscating guns. The gun didn't pull itself. The trigger didn't pull itself. The bullets did not come out of that gun spontaneously by themselves. It took a registered Democrat, mentally ill, and on mood-altering drugs to make that gun do what it did. What's interesting about all of this is in 1991, a book by William Cooper called Behold a Pale Horse predicted these events. And I've cut and pasted a section from that book. I want to read it to you. Written, like I said, 1991. This is what Cooper says. "The government encouraged the manufacture and importation of military firearms for the criminals to use. This is intended to foster a feeling of insecurity, which would lead the American people to voluntarily disarm themselves by passing laws against firearms. Using drugs and hypnosis on mental patients in a process called Orion, the CIA inculcated the desire in these people to open fire on schoolyards and thus inflame the anti-gun lobby. The plan is well underway and so far is working perfectly. The middle class is begging the government to do away with the Second Amendment." And then he adds an author's note. "I have found that these events have indeed happened all over the country. In every instance that I have investigated, the incident at the woman's school in Canada, the shopping center incident in Canada, the Stockton, California massacre, and the murder of Rabbi Meir Kahane, the shooters were all ex-mental patients who were current mental patients or were current mental patients. Let me back up. I want to read it correctly. The shooters were all ex-mental patients or were current mental patients who were all on the drug Prozac. This drug, when taken in certain doses, increases the serotonin levels in the patient, causing extreme violence. Couple that with a post-hypnotic suggestion or control through an electronic brain implant or microwave or ELF intrusion, I will explain what that is, and you get mass murder, ending in every case with the suicide of the perpetrator. Exhume the bodies of the murderers and check for a brain implant. I think you're going to be surprised. In every case, the name of the murderer's doctor or mental treatment facility has been withheld. I believe we will be able to establish intelligent community connections and or connections to known CIA experimental mind control. Yes, I know we get into the tinfoil hat conspiracy arena now, but I want you to listen to what I'm going to share with you over the remaining time and figure it out for yourself. Is mind-altering drugs in mass shooters a part of the equation? Well, according to the website psychdrugshooters.com, details of over 100 school shootings carried out by individuals who were taking psychiatric medications. 100. Naturalnews.com, Michael Adams, known as the Health Ranger. This is what he says. I took this from his website. Notably, such drugs do not actually resolve the cause of depression. They merely cause the individuals to mentally disconnect from their real life, making the causes of depression seem far away or not real. The same biochemical mechanism, when combined with the disturbed individual who may have been subjected to extreme bullying by classmates, can cause that person to act out a mass shooting as if they were playing a video game. It doesn't seem real to them until the drugs wear off, at which point they express extreme sorrow once they realize their actions were real. I'll pick up what he says in a second, but if you go onto the news and you see what the public defenders who are representing Cruz said, they both said that he is very remorseful and he understands what he's done. He will plead guilty, but this is a broken, disturbed young man. Adams goes on to say that the left-wing Hollywood elitist, like Jimmy Kimmel, want to cry on stage and blame the NRA or President Trump, but the real answer is that psychiatric medications are the root enablers behind most mass shootings. And I've been reporting on this for over a decade, Adams says, yet the political influence of the drugs giants is so powerful that no serious investigation has ever been conducted into the psych drug medication habits of mass shooters. America, it turns out, really doesn't want to stop mass shootings as much as it wants to have easy access to psychiatric medication. Until we take a serious look at this issue, the violence will continue, and even if you ban guns, killers would start using vehicles, bombs, swords, or other weapons to carry out their deranged intent. Well, Mother Jones, an independent news site with a liberal slant, has compiled a list of mass shootings dating back to 1982, and this is what they state. A majority were mentally troubled, and many displayed signs of mental health problems before setting out to kill. In a similar 2012 article on the topic, this is what Mother Jones said. Mass shootings generate sensational media coverage, yet most media have failed to connect the dots with regard to mental health. It is a crucial factor in these events, as our in-depth investigation into mass shootings, as Mother Jones shows. I don't see anybody in the Hollywood elite, the liberal elite, politicians, I don't see anybody on the news talking about the fact that psychiatric drugs are involved in the majority of the cases of mass shootings. So here we have a young man, troubled. Law enforcement visits 39 times. School knew about him. He's cleared. He's not put into the system. Somebody does see and say something, and the system failed in every way, shape, and form. So I wanted to look into something, because one of the things that Cruz has told law enforcement during his initial interview was he heard voices in his head telling him what to do and how to do it. The investigation and the investigators in their report called these the voices of demons. Is that possible? Well, you know who I am and what I do, so I will tell you that the supernatural aspects are correct. But what about William Cooper? Is he correct? Are there devices that can cause people to think and do the unimaginable, horrific things that are being done? Well, he mentions something called ELF mind control. What does that stand for? Electronic low frequency. Is it possible that this was a factor in this case or others? I can't tell you. But what I can tell you is that it is probable. Extremely low frequency is a sub-radio frequency. It has an ITU designation for electromagnetic radiation or radio waves. The frequencies are from 30 to 30 hertz and have a corresponding wavelength of 100,000 to 10,000 kilometers, respectively. In atmospheric science, alternatively, the 3 hertz or the 3 kilohertz. This has been known in the conspiracy community and even in the Hollywood community for years. Due to their extremely long wavelength, ELO waves can diffract around large obstacles. They're not blocked by mountain ranges or the horizon. They can travel around the curve of the earth if they have to. ELF and VLF waves propagate long distance because they use the earth's ionosphere as a waveguide mechanism. They can travel far distances because they are like the earth and the seawater absorb it rather than reflect it like they do high-frequency radio waves. They were created, supposedly, to communicate with submarines underwater, which is why they put GWEN towers, ground wave emergency network transmitters, all across the United States. But basically what these things apparently do now, and this is what people believe, and we've talked about it in the past on Reflections in the Dark, the ionosphere is being manipulated by HARP, High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, a U.S. government scientific program based in Alaska, which sends focused radiated power to heat up sections of the ionosphere, which bounces that power back down again. Well, ELF waves from HARP, when targeted on certain areas, can engineer weather, and can even create mood changes affecting millions of people. As I said, these GWEN towers were originally placed 200 miles apart across the United States. Originally, they from anywhere from 58 to 300. But now what they do is they attach the dish to already in place cell towers that, as we know, are everywhere for our cell phone and our internet service. So as many cell towers as there are as many potential ELF towers. In 1901, Nikola Tesla won a Nobel Prize in physics, which he shared with Albert Einstein. Somebody asked Albert Einstein, how does it feel to be the smartest man in the world? And he said, go ask Nikola Tesla. Well, Tesla revealed that power could be transmitted through the ground using ELF waves. Nothing stops or weakens these signals. The Russians retrieved Tesla's papers when they were returned to Yugoslavia after his death, and we also know that the Nazis were using Tesla's technology to do some of what they did, and they were testing the ELF concept as well. It is believed that the brain pattern of hallucinogenic drugs can also be copied and sent by ELF waves to induce, quote, visions. I'm not saying visions don't happen. I believe that they do. But I believe certain visions that don't line up with the Bible or with the heart and the spirit of God are either demonic or they have been induced. As I mentioned, mind control is a weapon of torture and human manipulation. Goes back to the Nazis in World War II. 1946, President Truman authorized something called Project Paperclip to exploit the German scientists for American research. And, of course, to deny those resources to the Soviet Union. Some reports bluntly pointed out they were ardent Nazis, but they were considered so vital to the Cold War, and they were brought to U.S. and Canada while overlooking their Nazi leanings. Some of these experts had participated in the murderous medical experiments done by the Nazis in the concentration camps. In 1999, a report to the Senate and the House said, between 1945 and 1955, 765 scientists, engineers, and technicians were brought to the U.S. under paperclip and similar programs. That was in what was called the Bluebird Report. We talked about this last week because we talked about CIA's MK Ultra program of mind control and human manipulation. The CIA originated this program in 1950 under the name Bluebird, which in 1951, when they included Canada and Britain, was changed to Artichoke. But MK Ultra itself officially began in 1953, and we're going to pick that up here after a brief promotional message.
The Porch, an online Bible study and fellowship of like-minded believers taking a deeper look at the Book of Acts Church from an unfiltered, non-watered-down perspective, has been online since March 2010. The Porch airs every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Firefall Talk Radio. The archive shows for listen or download can be found on Spreaker.com as well as blogtalkradio.com, iTunes, and iHeartRadio. If you desire to find the church the Lord intended and not the one that man created, come visit us at The Porch. For more information, go to FirefallTalkRadio.com.
And we're back. MK Ultra. The topic of movies, TV shows, and conspiracy theorists everywhere. Well, as I said, it officially began in 1953. Technically, it was closed in 1964, but some of the programs remained active under MK search well into the 70s. In 1973, CIA Director Richard Helms was tipped off about forthcoming investigations and ordered the destruction of any MKUltra records. Some other records were found later on, but most of them are gone. Reporter Mike Parker, The Express, .co.uk, July 8, 2007, wrote this article entitled CIA's Bourne Identity Plot, MKUltra. More than 250 people claim that they were victims of brainwashing by America's CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, was set to win a multi-million-dollar legal battle for compensation. Nine had already each received $67,000 compensation from the spy agency, which had admitted to setting up an operation codenamed MKUltra during the Cold War. On March 18, 2008, the Central Intelligence Agency responded in writing to a Larson Media Freedom of Information Act request. The document disclosed that the CIA's use of biomedical intellectual property developed at the Alfred Mann Foundation, Second Sight LLC, Advanced Bionics, and under the Naval Space Warfare, SPA War, contract number N660106C, as in Charlie, 8005, was currently and properly classified pursuant to an executive order in the interest of national security, and applied to the CIA's statutory obligation to protect from disclosure intelligence sources and methods. While the technology, the article says, developed under the DARPA programs of Tony Tether, Colonel Jeffrey Ling, and the NIH programs of William Heaturks, had been protected as a Defense Special Access Program, SAP, which was the official terminology for a black project. The research had resulted in implantable devices. Remember what Cooper said. Implantable devices that were millimeter and sub-millimeter in size could be surreptitiously implanted and had been fabricated in a manner that the devices could not be detected or localized by clinical, medical, or radiology techniques, and provided a shocking amount of surveillance capability regarding a subject's activities, which might well include visual and auditory biofeedback data. Well, if you happen to be a fan of yes, the X-Files did an episode about this called Drive in November 15th, 1998. It was Season 6, Episode 2. Actor Bryan Cranston played Patrick Crump. He and his wife's brains were being destroyed by a recently activated naval ELF tower. If you enjoy good television and the X-Files, that is a really good episode. Well, what I find interesting about all of this is we're talking about implants that the CIA developed in the 90s, maybe earlier, the 70s, maybe the 80s. Well, they only admitted to it in 2008. And they were creating implantable devices, that could be put into you without you knowing it, that would not be seen or found during a normal examination, to spy on you both visually and through auditory, and then getting biofeedback data from you. That sounds an awful lot like alien abductions to me. Some people believe that some of the alien abductions, not all of them, but some of the alien abductions were actually the government. I don't know. Can't confirm, can't deny. But what about this voice-to-skull technology, the artificial microwaves, which would send a voice-to-skull transmission? Well, in 1973, researcher Dr. Joseph Sharp announced at a seminar at the University of Utah and in the journal American Psychologist in the March 1975 issue entitled Microwaves and Behavior that this was the case, that they had been working on it. And when you look at the reports, you would believe they succeeded. In 2002, the U.S. Air Force Research Laboratory patented precisely such a device, a, quote, non-lethal weapon, which includes, one, a neuro-electromagnetic device, which broadcasts sound into the skull of persons or animals by way of a pulse-modulated microwave radiation, which we were just talking about, and two, a silent sound device, which can transmit ultrasound above human hearing into the skull of mammals. The sound modulation might be voice or audio subliminal messages. One application of the voice-to-skull use was an electronic scarecrow to frighten birds in the vicinity of airports. Well, the artificial microwave voice-to-skull transmission was successfully demonstrated by Sharp in 1993. And if that technology existed, there would be a paper trail. And if that paper trail was there, it would tell us that it was used for electronic harassment and information. Well, that was found in a white paper published in 1991 by the U.S. Global Strategy Council, a Washington-based organization, under the chairmanship of Ray Klein, former deputy director of the CIA, who maintains very close ties with the U.S. intelligence community. The white paper describes the foreign and domestic uses foreseen for laser weapons, isotropic radiators, infrasound, non-nuclear electromagnetic pulse generators, and high-power microwave emitters. The term non-lethal is a misleading one. The energy emitted from these weapons can kill if appropriately amplified. At lower levels of amplification, they cause extreme forms of discomfort and debilitation. The Department of the Army, DA, identifies these same weapons as non-conventional. They were so identified in an exhibit at a DA-sponsored symposium on, quote, the soldier as a system in Crystal City, Virginia, on June 30th, 1992. Beta wave incapacitors were separately mentioned during the symposium as being of interest to the U.S. Marine Corps. Well, we discussed non-conventional directed energy weapons. Well, they did too. They did it with Mr. Vernon Schisler, manager of the exhibit, Army delegate to NATO, pertaining to the soldier as a system. Schisler acknowledged not only that directed energy weapons are in the Department of Defense's arsenal, but that the American soldier will remain vulnerable to their effects should they be employed in the battlefield. 1992. It was working. How many people have they tested this on since then? The U.S. Global Strategy Council recognizes the issue of vulnerability as well as urges ongoing research into effective countermeasures. CIA and DOD have jointly pursued precisely that research since the commencement of Project Pandora in the 1950s. And the current primary users of that research appears to be the CIA, the DOD, the National Security Agency, the NSA, and the Department of Energy. Folks, this is real. In a moment here, I'm going to read to you actual patent numbers for these devices. Now, what does this have to do with the shooting? Am I saying this is what happened? No, that is not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is it's possible, it's probable, and it's something that we shouldn't just blow off as Hollywood stuff. The Walter Reed Army Institute of Research participated in Project Pandora, and in 1973 discovered that externally induced auditory input could be achieved by means of pulsed microwave audiograms or analogs of spoken word sound. Well, if they achieved it, that means they tested it on someone or someone's or entire communities. The effect on the receiving end is the schizophrenic sensation of, quote, hearing voices, which are not part of the recipient's own thought processes. The experiment prompted the following comment in the body electromagnetism and the foundation of life by Robert O. Becker, M.D., and Gary Sulden. It's a William Morrow Company book, 1985. Quote, such a device has obvious implications in covert operations designed to drive a target crazy with voices or deliver undetectable instructions to a programmed assassin. Did I happen to mention that Cruz said that these voices told him what to do and how to do it? The research continued. The results have been published in various journals. For example, James Lynn, Electromagnetic Interaction with Biological Systems, printed in 1989, Professor Lynn, then with the Department of Bioengineering, University of Illinois, Chicago, published a number of books and articles on this subject. He has more recently informed us, the public, that he had designed the experiment referenced before. Walter Reed Army Institute research has been studying the effects of high-power microwave radiation and presented such a paper on the subject to a DOD symposium on microwave weapons at Naval Postgraduate School, Monterey, California, mid-1989. Remember, Cooper wrote what he wrote in 1991. And in that Soldier as a System symposium, they admitted that 42 laboratories, research development centers, were employing approximately 10,000 scientists and engineers. The annual budget of $1.3 billion was only a small part of the overall DOD research spending. And so what they did was they did this presentation of non-lethal weapons, not governed by any laws restricting the activities of the U.S. intelligence agencies. And the preliminary findings were as such. One, the technology exists for the types of harassment and experimentation reported. Two, about a dozen U.S. citizens have informed us of continuing experiences with efforts which directed energy weapons are designed to produce. Three, the U.S. government-sponsored research into bio effects of exposure to microwave radiation is extensive and ongoing. Four, the U.S. government has a past record of having engaged in mind control, experimentation, and various agencies of the government have a record of circumventing legal restrictions upon their activities. Five, neither Congress nor the courts appear willing to look closely into black intelligence and weapons procurement programs. And six, a number of U.S. government agencies have interest in testing directed energy technologies on U.S. citizens under non-clinical, non-controlled circumstances. I'm sorry. I have a serious problem with all of this. I don't know if you do. Anyway, many patents have indicated the existence of such technology, such as U.S. Patent Number 6729337, May 4, 2004, a Sony-owned patent for Sony brainwaves manipulation by ultrasound for an ultrasound array that supposedly stimulates your brainwaves to stimulate sensory experiences causing its users to experience smells, taste, and even touch without external stimuli. U.S. Patent Number 6488617, December 3, 2002, Nervous System Manipulation by EM Fields from Monitors. Where did they test these things? Well, if you happen to be a prisoner in the Utah State Prison in the 1980s, it might have been you using Tesla technology. Prisoners in the Utah State Prison were bombarded with voices from a purported ET, each prisoner receiving the same identical message. Today, it's relatively simple to produce these voices in the head. Implants and microchips are no longer necessary. In 1988, an inmate in Draper Prison, Utah, by the name of David Frottis, wrote, "I began to receive or hear high-frequency tones in my ears. When I plugged my ears, the tones were still inside and became amplified. It is as if they had become electrified echo chambers with sounds coming from the inside out. I then began to hear voices right in my inner ears just as vividly as though I were listening to a set of stereo headphones. The end result is that I am now having my brain monitored by an omnipotent computerized mind reading or scanning machine of some sort." Hundreds of inmates at the Gunnison facility in Utah and the state hospital were human lab rats subjected to this brand of mind control as test subjects. In the early 1970s, it was revealed in the Utah U.S. District Court that while incarcerated, inmates were test subjects subjected to Tesla mind wave. They tried to seek restitution in the courtroom, and what do you know, they were unsuccessful. In the 70s, folks, and the University of Utah researched how Tesla waves could be used to manipulate the mind into hearing voices, overriding and implanting thoughts into the mind, in addition to reading their thoughts. They also went about developing eye implants. So when you hear somebody like Nicholas Cruz or anybody says that they heard voices in their head telling them what to do or how to do it, don't immediately discard them as nuts. Don't immediately discard them as possessed. It's possible that because of their social media footprint, they've been handpicked to do exactly what they did to destabilize and disrupt a society and to get us to a place where Big Brother is in complete control. I've seen it in the news. The devil made me do it. Actually, Flip Wilson said it first when he played a character called Geraldine, and the devil made her do it. Is it real? I've seen it. I've experienced it myself. I've helped set people free from it. So I know that demonic possession is real. But I also know that there are some deeply disturbed, nefarious people that will use that same aspect to manipulate people to a desired outcome. So I don't automatically go to the paranormal or the supernatural. I try to debunk by eliminating the possibility that there's a natural reason for this, psychosis, medically induced or externally induced. So we have this situation. The other thing that came about the other night after the shooting was some well-known religious leaders, political leaders, and others bang the drum once again, that the reason this happens is because we took God out of the schools in 1962. That we need to put prayer back into the schools. And I sat there and I thought about it. And I guess this would constitute the religion part of Overwatch. I can't find anywhere in the Bible that I read that says the schools are responsible for the spiritual upbringing of our children. Do I think it had an influence? Possibly. But there were other things going on in the 60s that added to it. Society changed, morals changed, the amount of psychiatric drugs changed, the amount of children on psychiatric drugs have increased. So there's all this other external natural stimulus. But I do not believe it's the school's responsibility to mold the spiritual character of our children. That's in the home. The problem's in the home. My wife was a teacher. And she would tell you, if you asked her, that many parents, they work long hours, they're distracted, their lives are going in other directions than they were in the 60s, want the teachers to be the parent during the day. School systems and rules don't allow that. The trouble is in the home. The trouble's in the marital structure. The trouble's in our society. Men and women doing what they do without any cause of the ripple effect on their families. Hollywood, who is screaming for gun control and the end to gun violence, I'm sorry. I've been a member of Screen Actors Guild since 1979, and I've been in the entertainment industry on and off since then. And I will tell you, Hollywood, you have no business saying anything to anyone about what is going on. You promote a mindset and an influence that clearly has created a problem in our society. You sexualize young men and women. You promote violence on a level unseen before in entertainment or media. And you want to cry about gun control? I say clean out your own closet before you deal with anybody else's. Also, let's get real here. Who cares what an actor thinks? Who cares what a talk show host thinks? Who cares what your opinion is? You have no right to be influencing anybody, and I don't understand why the mainstream media gives you that ability. Oh, wait a second, they're told to. That's right. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But getting back to the school issue, there's a scripture, and I'll refer to it for the point of reference. Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Parents, mothers, and fathers, start taking responsibility for your own children. Start paying attention to what they're watching, what they're listening to, what they're reading, and what they're doing. Pay attention to who they are associating with. Get more active in their life. Be their parent. Don't be their friend. They have enough friends. They need a parent. They need somebody with some experiential life knowledge to guide them. And if it's not you, then find a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or some blood relative that has a vested interest in their life and help them. Nicholas Cruz and his brother were adopted. I don't know what their background was. They were problems their entire life. When the father died, the stability and the structure left. The mother could not handle them. And then once she died, they went off the rails. There are so many factors that have created what we saw on Wednesday and what we see so often in our society. But as I say on the porch, it's not the devil's fault. The devil's just doing what devils do. The demons are just doing what demons do. It's the church's fault because we have not done what we were told to do. To tarry, to be an occupying army, to be a light into the darkness, to start caring about these people instead of judging them and pawning them off onto churches and youth pastors and expecting somebody else to do our job. It's time we woke up. It's time something changed. Do I think it will stop the tide of evil? No, I do not. Forgive me, I'm not being negative. I'm just being realistic. This tide has been flowing for decades. We are heading towards what will be eventually a cataclysmic, natural and supernatural conclusion. The darkness is getting darker, but those of us that can stand up morally, naturally, politically, and spiritually need to rise up. That's what Overwatch is about, to inspire you, to inform you, to possibly even agitate you. To look this up, is Richard telling the truth? Is what I heard, is what I see in the videos that are being posted on the Firefall Network, are they true? And if they are, what can I do about it? How can I support this? How can I support the dissemination of this information? How can I support SRT, the Supernatural Response Team, going out and helping people like Nicholas Cruz, families that have reached a point that they don't know what to do? Let's stop playing church and start being the church, because until we respond to the darkness, it's going to get darker. Darkness is simply the absence of light. We need to shine that light. We need to do what we've been called to do, and we need to do it now. More laws won't change anything. By the way, there were laws in place. Nicholas Cruz broke them. Shouldn't have been on the campus. Shouldn't have been a gun on the campus. School campus is a gun-free zone. But you know what? If you want to shoot people and have no response, except for maybe one SRO officer, go to a school campus. You notice these shootings don't happen in places where people will be armed. They happen in places which they know are gun-free zones, and innocent people are sitting ducks and victimized by the very laws that they abide by. Israel has the right idea. People that qualify are armed. Their society is armed. You don't see this in Israel. Will that happen here? I don't think so. I think the politicians and the media are going to keep banging this drum until the conservative parties, whoever they may be, give in. And when that happens, woe be unto us. I'm hoping that I got your attention tonight. I'm hoping that I've got you thinking. And I'm hoping that you'll continue to watch and listen to Overwatch. The video of this, the clips and the pictures that pertain to this, will be posted midweek, just like last week's is. Last week's video compilation of the show is on the Firefall Network on YouTube. You can find the link for that video on FirefallTalkRadio.com. You can also find it on the Firefall Talk Radio Facebook page. The video for this show will be on there as well this week. It's time to watch, to be vigilant, to do what needs to be done. And the time is now. I'm Richard Grund. This has been Overwatch on Firefall Talk Radio and the Firefall Network.